Let's go to 1 John, the third chapter. Start reading the first verse, 1 John 3, 1. This is a message tonight of hope. That's the way I want to end it up anyway, but help the Lord. It said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgressor of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is the Valley of the Dry Bones. But I want to start in the area of sin and death. The Lord gave me just about every scripture that I have tonight, just handed it to me. Now, if you're not a preacher, you wouldn't understand this, but we get our messages all kind of ways. At least I do. I mean, I get thoughts and scriptures and ideas, and it just depends on how he wants to go is how I go. And I build them all kinds of different ways, so to speak. I spend hours sometimes running scriptures. But in this case, he just come down and started giving me one scripture right after another. And I just started putting them in my mind, writing them down, lining them out. So it says here that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. Now, the bottom line of the Valley of the Dry Bones is that they were dead. He went into that valley and looked at it, and it was a whole valley of death and destruction. Well, tonight, what brings death and destruction? It brings sin, brings that. That's what brings it right there. Today, we live in a society. It's full of sin. Sin is everywhere. It's in all kind of angles and so forth, and it is a thing that is totally and completely destroying our nation because of sin, because of corruption and destruction. And it's got into places and it's doing things that has totally bewildered the minds of some people. And what I mean by that is a few years ago, you would have never seen things on homosexuality that is doing the things it's doing today. You would have never seen the things. It's getting into religious circles and so forth. They're accepting that. Those kind of things are very renounced by the word of God, but yet because of sin. But the bottom line is this, is the people are dead. And they don't have any right judgment and understanding. And that's causing them to do things that they wouldn't normally do. All right, let's go to Romans 6 and 23. I don't want to belabor this, and I probably will not be up here too awful long. But 6 and 23 said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin. Listen tonight, what does sin get you? Out of all the years of people that have lived in sin, what does it get them? Death. That's the payment for it. That's the wage for it. Listen tonight. It brings about death over and over and over. People have got testimonies that are not even saved. People have got professions and so forth. They're living in these churches and so, and they're doing things that is just totally destroying them. All right, let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians, the second chapter here. It said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And then 1 Timothy 5 and 6 brings out the point here. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now, the Bible is plain in what this is talking about. It said, "And you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Tonight, those that were lost, that were undone, that were dead. What do you like about death? And some people, they'll go about and they'll say, "Well, I'm not really a bad person, Brother Carl. I don't do drugs, I don't drink, I don't do this and that." But the bottom line is, if you have committed sin, you're a sinner and you're dead in sin, point blank. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. There is no way to justify it. Sin brings death, and death brings destruction. And so consequently, no matter what you've done, that would be considered sin. Listen, God give us the law. He give us the word of God. He give us that to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to educate us, to do the things that would help us to make heaven, that would help us to live a right life. And so consequently, people, when they go to transgressing that, refusing that, turn it down, walking over it, walking away from it, doing the things that they shouldn't do, that brings about a death, because it puts him in separation from God, and God is life. So tonight, people that are walking over the word of God, and those that are dead in trespasses and sin, and she says here that it brings about, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." The pleasure-mad throne that we have in the world today is sickening. Another scripture that would back this, let me think a minute. It's in Ephesians, I think. Let me see here. No, it's in, if I can find it, where it talks about the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's 1 Timothy, isn't it? Yeah, here it is, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. Talking about perilous times, dangerous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure. Now, since she did why she liveth, she liveth in pleasure. They're lovers of pleasure. The world is full of lovers of pleasure tonight. And these young people out there, there's thousands upon thousands of them that are living in pleasure. Was it Brother Marty or Brother Dan? Is it Brother Marty last night? Was talking about that girl seemed like she couldn't wait to go party. She just was all revved up, so to speak, to go to the party and get involved. She's living in pleasure, but she's dead while she liveth. Listen, people can fix up, paint up, do everything they want to do, but they're dead inside. They have no life. They have no spiritual life. They don't have any joy and peace and love of God. They're just going about doing the things that they want to do, and it's brought about death. They're walking around dead. The United States is in a mess because of all the death. How many of you have ever sat by a person that's died? Been by a number of them down through the years. And consequently, death, when a person dies, let me tell you how they die. Most generally, now this is not an absolute fact, but I've run it by people that's been around more death than I have. One of my sister-in-law, Deb. My daughter's seen quite a few death. She's had people die right into her hands, and she's doing everything she can do to save them, and they died right there in front of them. One time she was even called the angel of death because she had about 6 deaths in about 2 weeks. And so it had her shook up pretty good. But the bottom line is, when a person goes to begin to die, you know how they die? They start cooling. They start at the bottom of the feet, and the legs and the feet begins to cool off. The circulation begins to slow down. The whole body begins to change. The breathing at a point begins to change. And so consequently, it's slowly, the body is beginning to shut down. It's beginning to change. Listen, folks, tonight, people die spiritually the same way.
they begin to cool off, even if they've been saved and lived for God for several years, if they begin to back up, if they begin to get into positions that they shouldn't be in, and they don't pray like they should, they don't go to service like they should, and they begin to allow things to influence them and pull them and move them, they begin to cool down. God's trying to work. Many a time, when it was legal, so to speak, that I've set aside a few dying women too. But I'd ease my hand up under the sheet and I'd feel their legs and check them. I made a mistake in South Carolina one time. And this particular person had a bad case of, the deal that affects the lungs. It smokedly destroyed his lungs. And so I told them the stages it would be. I left at a certain point. I said, you call me if you need me. I'll be back in the morning if he hadn't passed. And I was getting ready to go, and I got a call. They said, I think you better come as quick as you can get here. We think he's gone. I got there and assessed the situation. They go, Brother Carly, never did cool down. And I thought the situation, I thought, yeah, I see what the deal is. His breath, they said his breath started changing, but his body didn't cool. Well, he had destroyed his lungs so bad that when death began to move in on him, it affected his lungs and his internal parts here more than it did the other. And it began to change. But listen, folks, tonight, there is people that have gone on and they have allowed themselves to get cooler and cooler and cooler and move further and further, and they became more lean and more lean and more lean. And consequently, after a while, they found themselves backslid. They found themselves out of the righteousness of God. They found themselves in a place where they were dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, tonight, death is a horrible thing. Death causes a lot of grief. It causes a lot of pain. Been there and done that. Seen it from young to old, so to speak. Well, when I say young, I lost my twins. That's what I'm talking about there. But the bottom line is death is something that is very, very painful. All right, let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go to the Old Testament. Proverbs. I want Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The man that wandereth. Again, he is not staying where he ought to be. There are many, many people that have wandered out of the way of understanding, out of the place that they should have been. So consequently, when they get away from God, they're going to remain in the congregation of the dead till they begin to turn back to Him. I want to read us a scripture in Ecclesiastes, the 8th verse, 8th chapter. 8 and 10. 8 and 10 of Ecclesiastes. This is a painful scripture right here. It's a sad scripture. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his way and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Now then it said, and so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. That scene right there is a scene across the whole world. There is multitudes of people that have been in church buildings maybe all of their life. They were raised this belief or that belief, and they've been there. They've gone over and over and over. Maybe they're the best people in the congregation as far as attendance, Maybe they're a secretary. Maybe they're a leader of some type. Maybe they're a teacher. Maybe they're a singer. But they're in that congregation. But the bottom line was they never got to where they needed to be. Consequently, they were never born again. They were never saved. And they stayed in a congregation. And they stayed in a dead state, so to speak. And it said, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city because they... where they had so done. This also is vanity. In other words, this doesn't bring about anything good. It's worthless. In other words, they went to meeting all of their life and ended up lost. It didn't do them a bit of good to go to church. It didn't do them a bit of good to have the professions and to have their name on the church book and so forth. The bottom line was when they ended up at the end of their life, they said, I saw the wicked buried. In other words, they were not what they ought to be. They were not redeemed. They weren't saved. And it's vanity. It's emptiness. It's worthlessness. It didn't amount them anything. And then it said, because the sins against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. A sentence against an evil work. Some people think, well, I didn't get cut off or I didn't have this or that. I'm just going to go ahead and do what I want to do. And though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it should be well with them. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Listen tonight, the Bible talks about sin shortening our days. There's a multitude of people out there that has gotten killed because of sin tonight and today. They got killed in the night last night. They were out partying. My father was invited to be in a car. There were 4 of them, if I remember right, going to be in this car. And they were going to go out riding. I don't know if you'd call it joyriding or not, but they were going to go out riding. And they was in a situation, and they got into a curve, and a great big old bus tipped, lost control, and literally laid over on that car and crushed it and killed everybody in. My dad wasn't in there. Somehow, he decided not to go. And I'd have never known him if he had been in that car that night. But they were out joyriding or whatever they were doing. I know another case of a young man. Worked with this young man. Steve was his name. He was a fine young man. He was going with a young lady. She was a beautiful young lady back there, young. They were about 4 17, 18-year-old girls in this car. They were out joyriding, having a good time. I don't remember the specifics because this is back in the 70s or late 60s. And so I can't remember all the detail. But the bottom line, them girls was in a wreck and it killed all 4 of them. What really was painful about it is she had wrote him a letter. And she wrote Steve a letter of love. And he received the letter after she died. And he lost it. I mean, it ripped him all to pieces. Death. Death is real tonight, folks. Death is real tonight. There is real death, a natural death, what I'm trying to say. But there is spiritual death. One is very, very painful, but the other is very painful also. It hurts a lot of people. It does a lot of destruction for people that's involved in sin over a period of time. And people go on. It said, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Oh, tonight, sin, death. All right, let's go to John 11. Let's begin to make our turn now to the right. John, the 11th chapter. I want about 4 scriptures here in John, 2 different places. John 11 and 24 here. Said, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again. Well, Jesus, let's go to 23. Jesus saith unto her, that brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. Now I want to ask us a question tonight. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said here, believest thou this? Do you really believe tonight, Martha? Do you really believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you really believe that I have the power to raise your brother from the dead? Lazarus dead 4 days. Bible said in one place, well, you remove the stone, he stinketh. But the bottom line tonight, he said, I am the resurrection. Listen, there's hope tonight, praise God. There's hope. There's a resurrection. There's power. There's glory. And it comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. He said, I am the resurrection tonight, praise God. All right, John, the 5th chapter and 24th verse. John 5 and 24. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you here that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now he said here that he that heareth my word. All right, let's go to Ezekiel 37. Let's go to Ezekiel 37 here and look here. Read a little bit. The hand of the Lord, 37:1 of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones, caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I'll lay sinews upon you, and I'll bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. And as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I behold, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I'll open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The valley of the dry bones. Now, valleys, on the average, are supposed to be beautiful. There's some very beautiful valleys in this nation. There's some very beautiful valleys in other countries. And you go into them and you're in awe and begaw, so to speak, and look at them and look and study and travel. On the island, on the big island of Hawaii, there is a valley called the Valley of Waimea. And to get down to it, you've got to go down a 25% grade. Well, we couldn't go to the bottom because we didn't have a four-wheel drive. Don and I walked part of it, and we were at such an angle, my feet were in the front of my shoes going down, and they were very much in the back coming back up. And we were struggling, so to speak, at a 25% angle and grade to be able to go and come. We didn't go very far because it wore us out too much. Maybe not her as much as her dad. But anyway, I saw pictures and read about it. They say when you get down there, it's the most beautiful, lush place. Got big, beautiful waterfalls coming down and lots of greenery and all these ferns and so forth. And beautiful place to exhibit and look at and so forth. It's a beautiful valley. There's a valley in, I don't remember where it's at, but it's in the east. I believe it's called the German Valley. There was a sister here. Her granddad her grandmother got married in the summer of 1983 after Rebecca and I did, and they took her back, and she got a hold of us, and some different people helped this young lady get around between meetings and meetings and get back to Oklahoma where she lived. And so we were up there. And we stopped and we looked at this valley. We were up pretty high and we were looking down on it. It was beautiful. Valleys are beautiful. They can have the most luscious green. They can have lots of cattle, or they can have waterfalls, or they can have rivers or whatever. But their soul can be so beautiful. This valley here was a little bit different. This was the valley of the dry bones. He said he carried me in the spirit. Out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. How many of you want to go to that valley? How many of you would want to walk? How many of you have ever seen dried bones of an animal laying out in a pasture or whatever? I've seen it. I picked them up. You get deer heads and you can get cattle heads and you can get other kind of bones and so forth out there of an animal that's been dead for a while. And to me, what it's indicating here, it said the valley of the dry bone and said they were very dry. In other words, they'd been dead for a while. Everything had totally disintegrated. The bones were separated. They weren't together. There was no flesh, there was nothing. They were outright dead, dead, dead. There was nothing but death and destruction all over this valley. The pain, the anguish. They had done things they shouldn't have done. They'd got themselves into real trouble. Listen, old Israel folks, they went out there and they got in trouble with God over and over and over and over. He punished them here, there, and yonder, over and over. They never seem to learn their lesson, bless your heart. And here they are again. They're in trouble. And he characterizes it now as they're all dead and they're a valley of dead, dry bones. So he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, what would you have answered God if he had asked you the question, can these bones live? I thought he made a pretty good answer. Oh Lord God, thou knowest. There ain't no other answer to give him. I am the resurrection and the life. You're the one that can do something. God, it's not me. I'm just a human being. I don't have any power, so to speak. And again, he said, prophesy upon these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones. Now then, back in John 5. Said, he that heareth the voice of the Lord. Let's go back and get that. John 5 and what was it, 24, 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Heareth my word. Listen, tonight, if you and I are going to get anywhere, we're going to have to listen to God. Amen. When God talks, we're going to have to listen, folks. We're going to have to listen, and we're going to have to move, and we're going to have to do what God wants us to do. We can't just go on in a dead state and get out of that. When God starts talking, we got to move toward him. We got to respond to him. We've got to do what he wants us to do, or we'll stay in a state of dead. And consequently said, I am the resurrection. His father said to Moses, he said, tell him, I am that I am. In other words, I'm the eternal almighty God. That's who I am. I'm not just anybody. Well, who is this that you're representing, Moses? And God said, tell him, I am that I am. Oh, tonight, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. I'm not anybody either. I have the power to resurrect from a dead state of sin. I have a power to save. I want another scripture over here in Hebrews 7 and 25. I believe it is where it talks about he's able to save them. I can't quite quote it all. It said, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. Listen tonight, there's not anything that God can't do. He's able to save them, not just a little bit, not just a little salvation, so to speak, but no matter how deep they are, how far away from God they are, he can resurrect them, save them, deliver them, bless them, use them, and he's there to make intercession for them all the rest of their lives. Praise God. Somebody said, I can't live that life. Man told me that I worked for and was partnered with. Danny Webb said, listen, Carl, if I was to live the life you live, I'd have to live out on an 800-acre farm in the middle and get away from every human being. I thought about what Danny is saying. I thought, well, that wouldn't help none because the devil's going to be right there, and that's one giving all trouble. I mean, people give trouble too, but it's all because of the devil. So consequently, he said, I'm able to save them to the uttermost, to save them, to deliver them, to raise them up, to raise them out, to put them on a solid rock, praise God, to do something for them and to keep them and to bless them and to use them and to work for them and to encourage them and inspire them. No matter what the time, he's there to make intercession. He's a 3 a.m. God, folks. He's able to help us anytime, 24 hours a day, praise God. I'm able to save them to the uttermost. Oh, tonight some people get in real despair. Well, I'm going to tell you, in the valley of the dry bones, I look pretty despairing. It would look horrible. Death everywhere. Listen, folks, it would be very discouraging to look around and you're seeing bones everywhere and there's nothing connected. There's no anything there. It's just a valley of dry bones. A head over here, an arm over there, a leg over there, a foot over here. It's all separated. That's what I'm trying to say. Disenchanted. No, that ain't the right word either. Well, separated. I'll stick with that. And so consequently, they're everywhere. And he said, can these bones live? He goes, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. And God said, I'm able to save them to the uttermost. I am the resurrection and the life. No matter how bad it is, praise God, I'm able to work with it. Oh, I'm able to do something. What do you need tonight? He says, I'm able. If you listen to the voice of God, if you respond to that voice, I can heal you. I can deliver you. I can save you. I can bring you up and out. Praise God. Well, they're saying here, he said, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into them and you shall live. I'm going to help you out. Now, this valley ain't pretty, folks. There ain't no beauty here. It's a non-beauty. They have a death valley in California. I looked that up a little bit today. There's part of that area that gets to 134 degrees. That's pretty hot. I don't know what the hottest temperature is I've ever been in. I can tell you the coldest temperature I've ever been in. It was minus 22, actual temperature, 22 below zero. But I don't remember the hottest temperature I've ever been in. 100, 110, 115, 120 probably. So they're out there in this valley. Death is everywhere. It would be so discouraging. But he said, I'll lay sinews upon you. I'll bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now you talk about a vision, folks. You talk about seeing something, this would be quite a vision. Hundreds, maybe thousands of bones laying out here, and all of a sudden they begin to rise, praise God. Listen, folks, people are in such a dried state today. They're dried, they're dead to the uttermost, but God wants to save them to the uttermost. He wants to bring them out, praise God. He wants to deliver them. He wants to do what nobody else can do. So here come the bones. Bone connected to this bone. That bone connected to that bone. Ankle bone. Leg bone. Hip bone. The neck bone. The backbone. All of it beginning to come together. I know this may sound a little funny, but listen, folks, think about it. Think about a vision of seeing these bones all begin to come together. There's only one person can do that. That's God. Because if they gotten scattered, animals picked this bone from this first up, put them over there, and just moved them around. Can you imagine? You've got to have somebody that's got the power, the intellectual ability to know what goes where. Listen, folks, today, when it comes to the resurrection of the dead at the judgment, and there's people that's off in the seas that they've been dumped. They took and dropped a sailor into the sea that was dead. They put them on a deal. And they raise that up and he just slides off and goes into the ocean. He's going to come out one of these days. But here come all these bones. Begin to connect one with the other. And then it said the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. In other words, they're all a body now. How many of you heard the message Brother James preached the other morning? Had that body laying up there on the board, Drew. He said you got to have the inspiration, wasn't it? The voice. He said that's, yeah, the breath. Breath of God, the inspiration of God, the moving of God. And that's what you've got here. Now then you've got a lot of bodies laying out there and they're all dead. Making progress. We're making progress. We've got bodies with no breath, no life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, he said. Like I said, this is a message of hope tonight, folks. It's time for people to begin to see there is a way out. There is help, praise God. There is blessings. There is glory. This valley's fixing to do some changing, praise God. It's already had all the dry bones, and they brought them all together, and now then there's human bodies laying everywhere. By the hundreds, I would say. Maybe the thousands. This valley's changing, folks, from a valley of dry bones. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, so they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Not just a few, but a great army. Thank the Lord tonight, there's hope. Thank the Lord tonight, there is victory. And because they listened, because they heard the voice of God, the valley of dry bones went from the valley of dry and dead bones to a valley of trees of righteousness and glory. Tonight, God still wants to make trees of righteousness. He wants to deliver people. He wants to raise them up. He wants to take the dead and make them alive. Praise God. Being connected in with people that's in the medical profession, I've heard some horror stories. Sad. Suicides. Different things that they could tell me. Then, like I said, I've seen death. I've seen it a number of times in 30, 40 years now, 30-something years. I started about time. I guess first one I saw was Eva Lou when she died. It's So that'd be 33 years ago, not quite. Now then, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Oh, he's going to bring you home. He wants to bring you home, praise God. He wants you to be born in the family of God. He wants to put you in the place where he wants you in the body. He wants to make a saint out of you. And shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, performed it, saith the Lord. The valley of the dry bones is no longer a valley of dry bones. If this would really happen today, and they have been great revival meetings around the world. There had been revival meetings down through the years that broke out in sections of Europe and here and there and in this United States. I've read about it. And the moving of God was rich. It was powerful. It was glorious. Multitude of people would get saved at a time. People would straighten their lives out. People would do what they needed to do because God was speaking and they were listening. The bottom line is tonight, are we listening? Are we hearing the voice of God? Tonight, those that heard the voice are those that are going to come out. Those are going to come out, they're going to be blessed, they're going to be saved, they're going to be delivered, they're going to be happy and joyful and redeemed. But we got to hear the voice of God. Are we listening? I am the resurrection tonight and the life. Oh, tonight, let's stand, have a number.